Praise God. Let's lift our hands one more time, shall we? Let's love the Lord together. Father, we thank you today that your will is being accomplished. Your power is moving. You're working in us right now. We thank you, Lord. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you. First time to preach in Birmingham, but not the first time in Birmingham. But good to be here and get to know the Suttons a little better. And I enjoy what I feel. Anybody feel the presence of the Lord? Amen. God is in this place. And I'm here in the will of God. Now, we would not have, we wouldn't be here this morning if we hadn't known it was okay, Lord. It's okay. It's your will. And although we've been thinking of this and planning this, about 2 weeks ago, my 26-year-old, my oldest son, Ryan, was contracted this swine flu. And it, then, of course, he's an evangelist, travels full-time, was in South Carolina in meetings, preaching and sweating and going. And then the flu turned into pneumonia and kept trying to preach and thought he was over the flu and ended up in the hospital at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, so which is where we are. And it's almost, we're in a second week of fighting that infection. His right lung is completely filled, and they've done two surgical procedures in there, to just things they're doing. And how many knows that God is able? Praise God. And so I had said, I'm not going. I won't be going to Birmingham. And but the last two nights, there was some improvement. And Ryan said, go to Birmingham, go to Birmingham. So here we are. So I know we're in the will of God. And so that means God has something for us today. And so, of course, you'd have gotten great things if Pastor Sutton had just gone right on. But we're here in the will of God. And I want to talk to you today. Anybody believe God can speak to our hearts here today? Amen. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach today from the word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we'll get those. And while you're turning to Exodus chapter 5, I'm going to use that as my text. And how many are going to help me preach? You're going to help me preach? All right. So we're going to talk to you from the book of Exodus chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about where I'm going and what I'm doing. I pastored in Chicago for many years, started a church there. But 15 years ago, I went full-time into, let's see, is that right? Yeah. Well, no, 15 years ago, I started working with universities and the apostolic movement. And I went to the same university that Billy Graham went to. And the Lord, you believe God can reveal truth to people? So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit. They've asked me to do that. I'm going to talk about how God miraculously drew me into the apostolic faith. And so that'll be fun. We'll have a good time doing that. Of course, I'm going to preach to you, but we'll tell you a little bit about that. But I went to the Wheaton College, and I was an ancient language major, which means I'm a nerd. And I studied 8 years of Greek, several years of Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic, tons of Latin. In fact, I received the Ancient Language Award from high school, went to college while I was still in high school, and studied Latin. So I'm a complete weirdo. And of course, I did that. And as I came into I was, of course, a Christian, but not apostolic. And people would say, oh, don't get involved with those aisle-running people, those loud people, you know, like loud is bad or something. And but how many knows God can lead us and he can help us? Praise God. And so... but through the years and getting involved, we've helped several colleges, was full-time for the last several years. And then, of course, this last summer, God called us back into pastoral work. And so we're in the process of moving. And, of course, we'll always probably have a heart for education. But in the midst of that, what I ended up doing at Wheaton College, where Billy Graham went, is, in fact, the reason I did my research on Our God is One was Billy Graham was speaking one afternoon, and he was talking about the dynamic revival of those aisle-running Pentecostals in China. I don't know if you know it or not, but Dr. Graham's father-in-law was missionary to China 50 years. And so here I was. Of course, I graduated from a Baptist university. And he was talking about, he said, I know that they baptize in Jesus' name. And I know that their holiness. And I know all these things about them. But he said, I want to tell you something. They're the fastest growing church in Asia. Of course, I'd already heard that they were growing fast, but I didn't think Billy Graham was talking about it. And so the Lord pricked my heart, so I began to do my... I said, okay, if Billy Graham is going to talk about us, then I'm not going to be ashamed to talk about us. So I began to do my university research on the growth of the Jesus Name Church. And so that leads me... And of course, since then, I'm now in England doing my research on the growth of the movement. Because if you don't know it or not, this church is the fastest growing Christian church in the world. This church, this movement. And so I'm gonna speak to you today from the subject that we'll find here in chapter 5 of Exodus. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, I know you're standing. I want to see you suffer. I'm going to let you sit down. But let's read this, shall we? And let's pick it up here in verse 1. And how many feel the presence of the Lord that's here? I feel the Lord here. And I feel like God's having His perfect way. So let's begin here in verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Because we're jumping right in the middle here. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go. It would say, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Let my people go. And Pharaoh said, and here's my text, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Well, Pharaoh, I got news for you. I'm telling you today that regardless of the circumstance, you may not know who he is, but I know who he is. And I didn't have to be some famous, educated, rich, preferred customer. God is God, and nobody is going to stop that God. Nobody is going to stop God. Nobody is going to stop the Church of the Living God. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. I'm going to speak to you today from the subject. Pharaoh can never stop us. So let's lift our voices one more time. Father, right now I pray that you would let the word of the Lord penetrate. Let our hearts receive it. Let our minds receive it. Let the Spirit of God talk to us one more time. Lord, as we worship you and as we receive your word today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. God bless you. Now, my mind is going 100,000 miles a minute, and I'm known for going way fast and so on and so forth. But I'm going to preach to you from the bottom of my heart today. Now, you know, Ryan is today, Sister Finch just called. I've had to leave service a few times. And last night, his white counts went back up, and they don't exactly know what's wrong and so forth. But when, and of course, he has this swine flu and so forth. I've already told you all about it. But of course, yesterday they were saying, okay, we're about to go over the top. And then this morning they're saying, no, something's happened and so forth. But what I want to say today is that it doesn't matter what the outside may look like. God is still in control. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Now, when Ryan was born, I was pastoring in Chicago, and he was born with a heart condition known as tetralogy, which meant when he was 3 days old, they needed to do surgery. They didn't actually do surgery till he was 3 months old, but they did an open heart surgery. In fact, it wasn't technically open heart. They went through his back and put in what is known as a Taussig shunt. Now, you're getting a little medical information here. But so that was his first surgery. He ended up having 4 open heart surgeries by the time he was 6. In fact, that was they were very concerned. Of course, he's 26 years old, hadn't been sick a day in his life since. But there was, and I'm telling you this because I really feel in the Holy Ghost today that God is trying to remind us that it doesn't matter what the devil does, what he says, God is greater than all of this world. Every devil in hell cannot stop the Church of the Living God. So someone said to me, don't quite understand him you believe in healing. Is everybody okay with this so far? I don't know. I feel like I need to preach from now until tonight's service. So you better say amen. I don't know if I can get all this. No, just kidding. Just kidding. All you visitors, that's a joke. That's a very bad joke. And we don't want you to be worried. I'm not going to preach forever, but I'm going to preach what the Lord's given me this morning. I'm telling you that there is no Pharaoh. I don't care how arrogant. I don't care what they say. They may write books. They may say, someone just was telling me this week about this new book that the Bible's false. I got news for you, folks. The Bible is the Word of God, and you can fight it every day, and you will not stop. You cannot stop. The Word of God. You can't do it. So. Now, folks, you got to stay calm. Okay. So you just got to stay calm. I'm not going to get anywhere near where I need to go. So the doctor said this boy can't live without surgery. And so they did a surgery. Of course, we said, well, God's a healer. How many of God's a healer? And it seemed like. It seemed like the last thing that I wanted was for that boy to have surgery. And I'd gone into Chicago, started a church, and the whole basis of our church is that God can do anything. And someone said, well, you must have sin in your life, or your wife must have sin. And I said, you shut your... No, I didn't say that. I said, no, I'm serious. Folks, I want to tell you something. When your child is having a second or third heart surgery, and someone walks up to you and said, well, if you just had a little bit of faith, I grabbed him like this. I'm going to be very, I'm very emotional. You probably haven't noticed it. But so he said to me, this was, of course, you know, 20 years ago, my son was having this surgery, this fourth surgery. And this fellow walked up and he said, oh, Brother Finch, if you just had faith. And I wasn't mad, although I'm telling you, I wasn't mad. I don't care what anybody tells you. But I had just had enough of that. And I said, because, you know, was it my wife's faith or my faith? And I said, what about your faith? You! So, didn't say it like that, but I said, I want to know if there's a scripture. This was real fast. Where's the scripture that says the dad's faith? Like if a child is sick, only the parents. You know that God can heal a child. The parents not even be saved. I mean, God can do anything. It didn't take Talmadge French's faith. And someone said, well. But here's my point. We don't always know or understand. But God always knows exactly what he's doing. God is the one that knows what he's doing. So, in a sense, I'm telling you here today that that's what I'm saying. That's what I told my wife a moment ago. We may not understand it. He's in the middle of a long revival, and people have been getting the Holy Ghost. We were just left a meeting a few weeks back, and they started a revival that went for weeks and weeks and weeks. And the first night they started getting the Holy Ghost, and when they were done, 55 people received the Holy Ghost. And I know the devil's mad. I know the devil thinks that he can stop the church, but he cannot stop the church. He cannot stop the church. So I'm going to keep going because I know I know what I'm doing. I'm treading on dangerous ground here. I'm being very personal. But I'm going to obey God. So when he's 6 years old, he has a fourth surgery. And I told God, I can't take this. Not only was it $1 million, I definitely couldn't take that. A little pastor in Chicago, and I mean, we had bunches of people prayed through, and the church was growing. We bought the Presbyterian church, and miracle after miracle. See, what the devil thinks is, I couldn't get you at that door, so how about door number 3? But I'm going to tell you, devil, it doesn't matter where you show your ugly head. You are not going to defeat the God of this church. God is bigger than my problem. God is bigger. So, I said, Lord, I just can't take it. He said, you can take anything. You can take anything. And I was like, oh, my goodness, Lord. I hope that doesn't mean we're going through a fourth surgery. And we went through a fourth surgery. He grabbed my neck. I'll never forget it. I'm glad Sister Finch is not here. I wish she could have been here because I preach better. I do everything better. I tell the truth more. No, I'm just kidding. She, that's another very bad joke. Now, folks, please don't worry about this. But she'll stop me. She usually sits like wherever the pastor's wife is. And then she'll kind of go, well, that's not, she's anointed. And she, and I'll say something and, no, that's not true at all. And I'll say, wait, that's not true. Hold on, let me get this right. And, but I'm glad in a sense that she's not here having to hear me opine about it. But because I'm telling you something that is absolutely true. This is not made up. It's not some fairy tale. It's not a made-for-TV ad. I'm telling you the exact truth. I had $1 million in medical bills, and here I was, this preacher trying to just do the work of God. The devil said, you'll never start a church here. You'll never have a stronghold. You'll never get a building in. But you see, the devil's a liar. He was absolutely wrong. And so we go to the medical board with $1 million in medical bills. And it seemed impossible. I couldn't even buy a home because of my medical circumstance. And they said, wait a minute. Here's what, and somebody, I got on the phone. Somebody said, why don't you call so-and-so? And so we started calling. I said, I feel like God's going to help us. And so we started calling. And thinking, well, I don't understand all this, Lord. I don't get it. And I called, someone said, call this lawyer, call the attorney. He said, you can't afford me. I said, well, I know. He said, but here's what you do. You can't afford me, but here's what you do. Call this number, call that number. And before the next day, they said, call, we owed like $8 zillion to this one hospital. And I called him. I said, we owe you $8 zillion. And they said, yes, we know you quite well. We want to build a new wing, and we're waiting on your money. And so, no, I'm just kidding. That's not true. And so, where are you, hon? Where are you? So, so they come in, and I said, I can't pay it, but I can pay you. And they told me what to say, and I told them. And they laughed. They said, that is hilarious. I said, well, actually, it's not. It's true. That's what I can pay. I'll pay it today. I'll send you the check. They said, wait just a minute. They went in and they, so they said, hold on, we're going to check. And they went in, they came back and said, we'll need to call you back. And I said, okay, call me back at this number. And I was pastoring, I had three jobs, I was driving a bus. I had blah, 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 I had three jobs. So, and we were getting by and we were making it, trying to pay. We weren't going to file. Everybody said file bankruptcy. I said, I'm not going to do that. And so we just kept on and kept. So they called me back the next morning and they said, I like you guys over here. So they said, call us back in the morning. We'll call you in the morning. And so they called me and they said, Reverend, you're not going to believe it. I said, well, to be quite honest, I think I'll believe anything at this point. But good or bad, because it makes no difference if it's good or bad. God is always the same. It makes no difference. God is always the same. So they said, here's what's happened. Stay calm. You got to stay very calm. You got to stay as calm as you can, okay? Because it only takes one little amen, and then I'm down over there. So they said, we cannot find your bill. It was the largest bill that we owed. It was zillions. And so, I mean, if you want the exact amount, you know, call my accountant. So it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. And they said, we know that you had the bill and so on. They said, but, you know, it's been so many weeks or whatever, and it went into this. And you might find this amazing, but we just went through a switchover where we put all the accounts onto a computer, whatever, blah, blah. And I said, well, that's very interesting, but how did you lose my amount? They said, we don't know, but we'll get back to you. So a few hours later, the phone rang. And they said, Reverend, we have just had a meeting, and they have searched the new accounts, the old accounts. Your account's been deleted. I said, is that good or bad? I said, is that good or bad? They said, well, it's bad for us, but it's really good for you. And I said, no. The only way it's really good for me is if I don't owe that zillion amount. They said, they have just, I've got the letter in front of me. The committee decided they were going to completely forgive the amount because we have lost it. And so
Of course, I was going, wow! I was praising God. We were shouting. And so I said, call the next hospital. So before the next day, every single account we owed was from a million, okay? We were down to $5,000. And you say, well, why are you telling us this? Well, because I want to. I'm telling you that, listen, I don't understand it all. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Let's praise Him one more time. Father, we thank You right now. We thank You right now. We thank You right now. Woo! We praise You right now. We're not about to ever give up on the God of heaven and the God of this earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Oh, hallelujah. Please sit down. I've been day and night. I don't have a voice. So I know you'll forgive me. Sister French has not been to sleep for I don't know how many days. It isn't just because I know you're saying, no, you just screeched your voice out. No, I know when screeching does it and when it's something else. So we're down to $5,000. And we're on the third day. And we're like, you see what God was doing for this young couple who was trying to preach, and God had a plan that was so much bigger than heart surgery and all of that. And Sister Finch answered the phone. It was about the third day. We owed $5,000, so, which was like, well, that's nothing. We don't have it, but we'll get it. And I told her, we'll pay every cent. We're not asking for anything. We just have to find a way. So, I mean, obviously, I've skipped 3 days here, but I'm jumping. I shouldn't even be telling this. I have no intentions at all of telling any of this. And so the phone rings, and Rebecca answers it. And the hospital that we owed the zillion to, the big one, said, we found your bill. And she said, oh, my goodness, which was the bulk of the amount. And she handed me the phone and said, they found the bill. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, I don't know. They want to talk to you. I said, you found our bill. Oh, thank God. lost the bill, and you found it. They said, Reverend, we're so sorry that we've put you through this. We knew we couldn't have really lost the bill, but we had no explanation. And said, actually, there is no explanation. It was there the whole time. Your bill is there. And we couldn't see it. It was there, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, that sounds strange, but that's very interesting. And so how much is it? And it was a zillion. And I said, okay, obviously, I'm back to where we were on Monday. I have this amount, and I've got the check. And she said, oh, no, Reverend. No, she said, we've already sent you your letter for giving the amount. And I checked and made sure that's irrevocable. You have already been forgiven the entire amount of the hospital bill. And before, I couldn't get off the phone for the call coming in. Someone saying, God just spoke to us. You need $5,000. Zero bill. That's the kind of God that we're serving. Now, before, now, folks, when you're serving a God like this, I don't care what happens in your life. There's nothing greater than our God. There's nothing greater than our God. I was studying at the university, and of course, I studied ancient language. I had 8 years of Greek, and I'll say that as many times as I can. So I was into ancient language, and that was my major. That's what I was doing. And I got into this church, and the university said, oh, Talmadge, you're getting into those really really, what they use words I won't repeat, but you're getting into this. And I said, well, yes, I am. And they said, well, you know, we like it, but they're so emotional. They're so emotional. And I said, well, yes, that's true. But I mean, it was like they were saying it like that was a sin or something. And I said, I know they're emotional. And I would have to say that, you know, we're not. Because I'm telling you, you could have 4,000 people in the building and you'd hear this. Oh. I had the head of the music department come in and come to my church, and she wasn't apostolic, but I said, I want you to come in because she sang like an absolute angel. And I'd heard her sing at the Billy Graham Chapel with 4,000 people, and that she reached that, and it was some song about the name of Jesus. And I said, oh, Mary. I said, oh, my God of heaven, you got to sing that. I just want you to come and just sing that one time so you can see the difference in singing it to 4,000 deadbeats and singing it to a few hundred people that have been buried in the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you, all of heaven begin to break loose. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands and thank God right now. Praise God. You know, the devil just thinks that he can stop us. He just thinks that it will. Now, initially when they said, you know, I had several professors came in from the university after I got into this, and they said, we like it, Talmadge, but all that getting up and moving around. And I was like, I understand. I mean, we're moving around a lot. And, you know, people, we call it shouting. They said, I would call it more than that. And all this was happening. I'm sure that the devil thought, if we have to cut into that boy another time, that's going to so discourage, and people are going to question his faith, and they're going to question his wife's faith and all that. That'll surely discourage them. But actually what it did was, it revolutionized me. It did something. I mean, you think I'm crazy. Let me tell you, that's what it came from. Watching God do the impossible when you can't grasp it. And none of my family understood anything about all this. My family was not churched. And so, everybody say, praise the Lord. Could we just lift a hand one more time and let's thank God for whatever it is that is going on in our lives right now. Whatever it is we're facing, Lord, we know that you're bigger than any circumstance. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Praise God. You know, letting God be God is not always easy for us to do. And and I don't think there's anything wrong. If I'm going against anything Brother Sutton holds to, then he's right. But I don't believe that there's anything wrong with asking why. I think you can say, why are we dying? Or why are we sick? Or why are we broke? Or why? You can ask why, but God is not obligated to give you the answer. He's just obligated to be God. Okay? So here we go now. So we get through all this, and the university is telling me you've got into now a church where, you know, here you were this really nice ancient language student, and you've promising a degree, and now you're a part of these really emotional people. I said, that's true. You're right. I wasn't emotional, and now I'm emotional. The question is, was that good or bad? That to them it was bad. And so I tried it. I went to the church and said, okay, we're going to cut the emotion. Unless God does it, no emotion at all. I mean, just don't even express any emotion. Just sit here like bumps. And so they said, oh, that'll be interesting. And I said, well, I want to make sure that this emotion is genuine, that it's not just like some kind of silliness. I said, because I like it, but that doesn't mean it's good or bad. I just will just stop the emotion for a while. And we tried that one service. And everybody would kind of sit there and looking around and praising God. And you'd start singing, you know, and then we would do no emotion unless it's just. And we were just frustrating the Holy Ghost. We're quenching the Spirit. And finally, I just got up and said, listen, that is not of God. Whatever you feel, whatever is in your heart, you express it. Just don't. I don't care what the university says. I don't care what anybody says. We are going to worship God. And they can like it or not. We're just going to worship. Listen, folks. Listen to me. Now, after we paid that $1 million. And we didn't pay it, but someone did. We got rid of it. After we did all of that, we had some folks we were having Bible study with. We was out in front of their home, and I had Ryan with me. He was, I don't know, seven. What was, honey, how old was he? And so he passed out in the front yard. And we were like, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. And so they rushed him in, and they said, Reverend, we're looking at a fifth surgery. They said, here's what it is. They described it. And I said, no. No, I don't believe it. I will not believe it. And so we just, church started praying, and because, you know, all the bills are paid, it's down to zero. Surely, the Lord, that's surely not your plan here. And so Ryan comes walking into the room. Of course, he's been very, very ill. He's back up on his feet, and he says, Daddy, he said, did you see the shiny man that came? And I said, because, you know, he had been getting a lot of stuff, and he was could have been a little loopy. And so I said, no, hon, we missed him, the shiny man. And we'd also been doing, these prayer for him. Every time he'd have a surgery, we would teach him Bible. Now, today he's an evangelist. He's at 55, get the Holy Ghost. What I'm trying to tell you is, it may seem like an impossibility. It may seem like, oh, no, no. But God always knows exactly what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. You can trust God. Let's praise him right now. Father, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, okay, now, please sit down. Now, I don't ever do that. I've never done it. Never, never, ever done what I'm doing right now. By the way, if you don't know, I'm not preaching this sermon. That's going to be preached somewhere. It's a great message, by the way. It's awesome. Now, I've never done this. Never. I've told about my son being healed, but never done what I'm doing right now. If I didn't absolutely know that I am in the will of God, I would not be doing what I'm doing. So he comes in and says, did you see the shiny man? I said, no, we didn't. I missed him. I said, what was he? It was in my room, which kind of gave me a start. And I said, let's go back in there and check the windows. And so he said, well, the shiny man came, and he got right up to me, Dad, and he said, everything is all right. He said, Dad, I'm not going to have another surgery. I said, oh, that shiny man. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let's call the doctor out. So we got on the phone. I said, I didn't mention the shiny man. I said, we have a problem, and that is we think Ryan's, and they had told us diagnosis and everything. They said, we think that it's gone now. It had just been just hours just since the diagnosis. He'd passed out, gone in. Did all this, put him on all this stuff, and then we were home waiting for this fifth surgery. And we just wept and cried and said, Lord, this can't be facilitated. That's not possible. Surely that's not in your will, Lord. I mean, whatever we're needing to learn here, four times I think we got it. And so we rushed him in. Dr. Au was very responsive to us. And so he said, what do you mean? He's, well, we sense it. He feels like that's completely gone. We'd like you to run the test again. And Dr. Al said, okay, I'm going to do it. And so he ran the test, and he said, Reverend, he showed me the two. He said, see that? See the hole? See the problem? And they all had big names. He said, now look here. He said, it's completely gone. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we said, hallelujah. So I had, and praise God. And so, and I've been telling you, I've never told them I'm going to do it. I'm marching right in by faith. I'm preaching to what God's given me this morning. So we had meetings that we were canceling out on the East Coast, Connecticut and up in there. And I was supposed to preach a camp meeting. So I went up and we left our middle son. We left all our kids. We had three. We left them, three boys. We left them with their grandparents. And this was just 2 weeks. And we were just rejoicing and praising God. God had done all this. So I'm preaching the camp, and I'm telling them how wonderful and joyous it is. And is everybody okay? Yeah. Is everybody all right? All right. So if it's not okay, you need to check with the Lord here, because I'm telling you, this is the will of God for this morning. Praise God. So I go, Sister French goes with me, which is extremely rare to leave the children. My youngest boy was only 6 months old. And so we go east. We're preaching. I'm preaching. I mean, I am so on fire. I mean, I am absolutely just ablaze with fire. I mean, I'm bragging a little on myself there. But no, that wasn't meant to be praise. It was just meant to tell you I was a wild man. My boy had just seen the shiny man. He was healed. The fifth surgery was gone. Never had a fifth surgery. Never was sick another day in his life until this week. And so I'm preaching and I'm telling, and wow! I mean, it is unbelievable. I get a call on Friday night of the camp meeting. And I had just been up. You see, folks, this isn't play toy land. This isn't pretend land. The devil doesn't like it because you're worshiping and you're believing God. And I predict something here today. What the devil's mad about is this church is about to see the greatest influx it has ever seen before. God is getting ready to touch and to work in a phenomenal way. And the devil's mad. So the devil was so he's laughing his head off, and he's thinking, okay, we're going to stop this. So this has been 2 weeks. I go on to the camp. My boy's healed. Everything's good. We're running aisles and shouting, and the phone rings on Thursday night, and it's my wife's parents. They said, we don't want to alarm you, but Jonathan, which is my middle son, is critical. We don't know what it is. I said, what do you mean? He can't walk. He can't walk. He was playing ball. He was only 2 and a half. They said we're playing ball, and it's like he broke both of his legs or something. Maybe the doctors initially thought bone something. But we don't know. We've taken him in. The diagnosis is unclear. We just need you to hop a plane, skip, you know, get here, or else helicopter him to Chicago where we lived, because they were in Memphis, and whatever, you know. And I said, okay, wait a minute. You're saying that the doctors think there's something malignant, something's wrong, totally wrong with his legs? Well, the first diagnosis is bone cancer. The second is a last stages of a leukemia that has aggressively attacked his entire... He really can't even... He could slip into a coma any moment. I mean, he's that far along. Now, you talk about roller coaster emotion. And here I am preaching faith, and oh my goodness, it seemed impossible. We just paid $1 million off my son, blah, 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 blah. And I told her, I said, honey, listen, I don't know. I don't know. Let's just get home. And so we walked into the living room. I forget how John got, anyway, we all converged at the, trying to get to the medical center. And our doctor who delivered him and delivered all our boys was exactly my age, was one of the finest doctors in the world. He called me. He's weeping because I'm weeping myself. But, I mean, he called me and he said, Reverend, I don't know how to tell you this. I can't tell you this, but your boy has cancer raging through his body. And I've never diagnosed. I've never had a family where you get through one major deal. And then now he said, I said, Doctor, it's okay, it's okay. We were both just weeping, and Rebecca was weeping. I said, are you sure? Is there any chance it's not? He said, no. He said, in fact, we're going to get a copter. We're going to get him downtown to the children's. And then we're going to try to save him. And we'd do this, we'd do that, and it was all new to us. We'd been through heart. We'd never even, didn't know a thing. And so that's what happened. So he's, they're aggressively treating this, and we're racking up another stack. And his lips break open, blood running, hair all gone, just emaciated, couldn't eat. And we had a Jewish doctor, and I studied Hebrew for years, and I've studied under rabbis, so I'm familiar with, you know, enough. And she's very eccentric. She's one of the world's most well-known cancer doctors worldwide, downtown Chicago. I said, Dr. Morgan, I said, last night we have been in prayer. We were like 6 months along. I think it was exactly 6 months. Honey, I'm pretty sure it's about 6 months. And the Lord spoke to Rebecca just like, of audible voice, and said, because we had prayed and prayed and had prayer, my church had prayed, I'd resigned my church, gave him the keys to the parsonage and said, I can't pastor, you need to get a man that can have kids that aren't dying every week. And they said, no, we don't accept your resignation. And I said, well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. I'm resigned. You can't make me stay here. And they said, no, then we'll follow you. You, wherever you go, we're going. And we had this old broken down Buick that was just about to go to heaven. And we were trying to get it back and forth. And my wife was sleeping on the floor. And I walked in and I'd resigned. And the church said, well, no matter what, we're going to follow you no matter where you are. And so I said, well, okay, okay, then what are you going to do about a preacher? I cannot worry. No, don't worry about a preacher. Just go to the hospital, go to the hospital. This went on for months and months and months. And so we're there, and I come home, and I'm exhausted, and my wife's still up. I'm worried sick about her. And there's this car, because we lived right on Roosevelt Road. If you take Roosevelt out of Chicago, come straight by our house. And so, and oftentimes cars would be left. And so there's a gorgeous brand-new car in the drive. And that was unusual. Usually they weren't quite that gorgeous. And so I told one of the men was at the church, and I'm at my house, and which was just a block or two from the church. We'd bought the Presbyterian church, not about two blocks from Roosevelt. And I said, could you find out who's left their car here? He said, yes, Pastor, I will. And he's doing this with a set of keys like this. I said, what is that? What is that? He said, these are yours. These are your keys. And I said, no, those are no, my keys. And I felt, and I got my keys. I said, these are mine. What's going on? Are these the keys to this car? And he said, yes. That's the keys to that car. I said, why would they park the car and leave their keys with you? I said, this. He said, no, Pastor, no, no. These are your keys. I said, dense, a little dense here. I said, these are my keys to that car? Yes. Give me the Buick keys, and this is your. They bought it cash. Just went and bought the thing, handed me the keys. I wept, told Rebecca. I said, honey, I don't know what's going on, but God. She said, honey, I know. God's already told me. God's already talking to me. It's all right. It's all right. And it's getting worse every day, worse every day, worse every day. And the Holy Ghost speaks to Rebecca, which I love that. She can play piano. She can play and she can sing all this. But I'm telling you what, nothing like her walk with God. And she said, honey, last night the Lord said, take him to church. Of course, he couldn't get out of the hospital. And I said, okay, good. And she said, but no. Remember that meeting that the brother was telling us about this week? And I said, yes. She said, that's the meeting. I said, that's 900 miles away. It's a long way. I know, but the Lord said to take him there. I said, are you sure it was that, let me get the map. Maybe there's a town of that, right here. So I went to Dr. Morgan. And I said, Dr. Morgan, and I knew she was Jewish. I knew she was religious. I said, if God spoke to you right now and told you, and your child was critical. She had three children. I said, and the only hope you had was that God would intervene. What would you do? And she looked at me and said, what do you want, Reverend? I said, I want to take my boy to such and such a city. They're in a meeting and we're going to walk in that building and we're going to have him prayed for. She said, no, you're not. I cannot release that boy. I cannot release that boy. No, Reverend, don't ask me to do it. I said, I'm asking you to help us to do it. Just help us. We'll do every precaution. We'll get a copter ready. We'll have it waiting. And then it dawned on me that this church was not far from St. Jude's. If you've ever heard of it, it's a major children's research center. And I mean, it was an hour away, but I mean, it would have been close enough. We could have gotten a helicopter there, boom and back. And so I told her, I said, it's just so many miles from St. Jude's. And I said, but I must obey God. Sister French is sitting there and she's praying. Tears running down her face. And she said, okay. She said, here's my card. We're going to get everything set up. You get this boy ready to go. And he's on IVs and everything. He can barely even sit up. It's an absolute miracle that they let him go. And I do not understand it. I don't normally tell it like this. So it would be, because I don't understand any of it. And we said, we're going to go straight there. Well, we had to, my folks live in that state. We were, of course, in Chicago, but my folks, this is down in near Memphis. So we, of course, let them know we were coming through and we'd go on to the service. And well, my folks weren't Christians. My mother had remarried. My dad married several times. My mother had remarried several times. And my stepdad was an alcoholic. But he loved that. Ooh, he loved that boy. And that man, who I called dad, was not my dad at all. But he raised me. And smoked four packs a day, drank his life away, and nearly killed himself drinking and his liver and all the rest of it. And I couldn't get him to darken the doors of the church. And here I was pastoring. So we got down there and we said, and they, of course, they knew how sick he was. They said, what's happening? And we said, well, we're just stopping to get a drink and we're going straight to the church because the service begins at such and such time. Then we have to go to St. Jude's and we have to go straight back. And we keep watching him the whole time and he's on IVs and the whole business. And they said, well, good. Give us a second. We'll have our stuff and we'll be ready. And we said, ready for what? And they said, well, to go. And we said, to go to the service. And here, I'd known him for 20 years, and couldn't get him to darken the doors. I mean, you know, graduation, everything else, couldn't get him there. Went to college, graduated from theology school, couldn't get, no, not me. I'm not going to some church where they run aisles. Said, we'll have our things in 2 minutes. Just hold on. We'll follow you. Of course, I had never been to this church. So we had making our way over to the church. And so we get there, and Rebecca reaches out for John, who's 2 and a half, but he's looks like an infant because he's so emaciated and hadn't eaten in 3 weeks except for what was going through his arm. And so we get out, and we're in a hurry. We've only got a few minutes. Why is this? I don't know. Of course, we're thinking, you know, what if God heals him right here? What if he doesn't? What if it's maybe it'll be delayed a month, or who knows? Maybe something will come down from heaven, and angels will sing and trumpets will sound. Who knows? With just whatever God wants. I don't know. So we drive up to the church, and Papa Lee reaches out. He's about 6'2". We're all tall, but he reached out and grabbed John and took him with all the cords, everything, all the IVs. And we said, no, Lee, that's not necessary. We'll get him. And they said, no. He said, I'm taking this boy. Because he's walked in with John in the back. It was packed. They were shouting. They were laying on the floor. I mean, we got there a little bit late, and they were, because we knew we were going to be late. And they were shouting. They were running. They were clapping. It was like angels were just singing everywhere. I'd never been there. I thought, whoa, this is good. This is good, you know. And so, but Lee's, you know, got his lucky strikes in this pocket, and John's getting nervous, and so he's holding Papaw like this and smashing his lucky strikes that look like a dime, and he's sitting there and he's wanting a smoke, and he's holding on. And so finally somebody up front, way back there, because John's lips are bleeding and this looked horrible, and they said, that boy right there, that boy is whatever, something about it, it looks, he's sick or whatever, of course he's sick. And they said, bring him here, God's going to touch this boy. And so Rebecca reached up to grab him, and Lee said, no, I'll go. Never even been in. And he had to, like, step over people like this. They were just laying there. Some of the ladies had little doilies put over their legs and stuff. I mean, the people were slain in the spirit. So he comes out. We're all walking down, and Papa Lee's holding him, and we stand there for a few seconds, and the preacher comes over and said, What is this? And we told him it's a form of cancer and so on. And he's in the 6th month, he's on a chemo, and that's what this is, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, God's going to touch him right now. He didn't know us. I didn't know them. I mean, it was apostolic people, but I didn't know them. And so they laid hands on him, prayed, and Lee's trying to hold him, and John's squirming. He's trying to move around, and then all of a sudden he sits up. And Lee's trying to get out of there. And so I'd say that lasted 30, 40 seconds. And he turned around, and we started to walk out. Sister French was slain right out. She got up, and of course Lee's like worried he's next. And so he starts down. And on his way out the door, John starts doing this to Papa. She's so nervous, she's just not even realizing John's trying to talk to him. And so he stops. He says, oh, baby, what is it? What is it, baby? He said, Papa, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And he stops and he says, turns to Rebecca and says, the baby, he said, he's hungry. What do you want, baby? He said, I want a Burger King. And so he said, this baby wants a Burger King. He said, where's the Burger King? And I said, wait, we're not done yet. We're done here, this kid wants. And so he's getting up. And when we get to the door, John is sitting up. He wants down. And so, of course, we got to the doctors, and they checked him. Everything, his counts were normal. And Lee stops there, and he says, listen, if that's the God you've been serving, that's the God I want. That's the God I want. So he turns around comes back in, kneels in the altar, and Dad Lee gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John's healed. The doctors are amazed. I talked to him this morning. Now, he's just gotten married 3 weeks ago, and serving God. And all I could think of today was, you know, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. I want us, come on, let's stand together all across this building. I want us to do something. I want us to find a place close as we can to pray. Maybe it's a loved one for yourself. Maybe you need a healing. But I want you to obey the Lord this morning. I want you to come. There's simply nothing in this world that can stop a church that is governed by such an awesome healer, such an awesome Savior, such a powerful God that we're serving this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Make room. Now let's lift our hands. We're going to praise God. We're going to praise. Maybe it's been a long time since you've really praised Him, or maybe you don't know Him like you want to know Him, but don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. Father, right now, right now, right now, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless your name, bless your name, bless your name. Ha-ta-ta, that's it. Come on, let's reach out together. Let's reach out together. Father, right now, we may not understand it. We don't always know what it is. We don't have an answer in ourselves, but God has the answer right now. That's it. Come on. God has your answer. God has your answer. God has your answer. That's what we've been saying all morning. God has your answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now. Father, right now. God, we're completely surrendered. We're completely committed to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ita ta la bosha ta ta ta. Sira de la. Let's reach out to someone right now. If you're near somebody, let's reach out. Lift a hand up. Reach a hand out. Lay your hand on someone. Let's believe together. God is really working here in our hearts. He's walking up and down our aisles of our heart right now. Lord, you're able to do it.